Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The 11 to 1 show.
A restaurant owner in Melbourne has gone viral after they put up a breakup revenge sign outside their new eatery. More on this after Boy Meets Girl in 11 to 1. Boy Meets Girl on a Monday morning. Sure, what would be wrong with us? Hope you're keeping well. 086 1800 658 if you'd like to get in touch. And this is what's doing the rounds on social media, and it's very clever. A restaurant owner in Melbourne went viral because they put up a breakup revenge sign outside their new restaurant. So it was sent to Reddit, where it explained that it has been put up outside a new Korean barbecue opening up around the Caroline Springs area. It was addressed to a person called Sophia, and the sign says, "You broke up with me because I was poor. Now I have money to open a Korean barbecue. Are you regretting it now?" Well, I'd say no, because she's probably thinking, how petty are you? But anyway, the sign prompted hundreds of comments offering different views, of course, with one person joking, "People are so quick on the internet. I wish I was this funny and witty. A dish best served barbecued." A second quipping, "She got skewered." Oh yeah, that's great. Others thought, however, she may have dodged a bullet by breaking up with the restaurant owner. "I don't think Sophia is going to be able to see that from her new boyfriend's yacht." Someone else, "A little bit depressing, but come on people, we know by now that this is of course a clever marketing ploy. What else could it be? No one is going to be throwing up signs like this without good reason. And now, all the way here in Ireland, we are talking about this particular barbecue in Melbourne. But this is one of these clever signs. I love these. You know when you go up outside a cafe and you see these deadly things written on the blackboard? Like, you know, you're expecting the menu, but no, you're seeing a quote of the day. And my favourite of these is, "Unattended children will be given an espresso and a free kitten." Now that, you know, is enough to strike fear into the hearts of parents that are coming in for, you know, much needed caffeination. Watch that child. They will give that kid an espresso, which is going to make our lives a lot worse. This one that I saw outside, I'm going to shout out to them as well. The Salt House Cafe in Drogheda at the weekend. "Got our colleague a get better soon card. She wasn't sick. We just wanted her to be better at her job." Brilliant. These are the kind of things that I love to see, you know. This is clever marketing, you know. There's another few that I've come across as well. You know these ones where they have a grumpy looking face before coffee and then after coffee. It's just the same face, but there's coffee in hand. This is the stuff that I live for. It gives me a little, you know, boost, particularly on a fairly grim looking Monday morning. Something else that'll give us a little boost is good music. Here's Westlife for you. Westlife, when you're looking like that at LMFM's 11 to 1. Oh, here's a good one now. That was outside a bar on a chalkboard on 086 1800 658. This is coming in from Darren. Saw this one recently on a trip to Scotland. "We don't serve women here. You have to bring your own." That's a brilliant one. I love these. They're very clever. And I think they started to pop up a lot more in recent times. There's another great one as well that I'm after coming across here online outside a pub as well. Soup of the day. "The soup of the day is the tears of our enemies." Brilliant. If you've seen any of those classic things on chalkboards outside cafes, restaurants or bars, let me know on 086 1800 658. Special birthday request coming in. I'll get to that as well. And we've got music from Anne-Marie and Shania Twain on the way for you.
The 11 to 1 show.
Another clever sign coming in on 086 1800 658. Seeing this sign in the pub, it said, in God we trust, everyone else pays up front. Brilliant. Absolutely classic. This is exactly what we're looking for. Keep those coming in on 086 1800 658. Want to wish Jamie in the Home Office. Now, there is a blast from the past. Jamie the Kid Kennedy, or Jamie in the Home Office, as we call him, that we met in COVID. He is having a birthday tomorrow. Ah, oh, listen, happy birthday for tomorrow. That's coming in from Mary, Claire, Maria and Teresa. So hope you have a fantastic day tomorrow. And we better play something for him. Here's Anne-Marie and Shania Twain. Anne-Marie, Shania Twain with Unhealthy Now. The Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association, they have launched their annual Drink Tea for MND. That is in its 15th year now. And this campaign is raising awareness for motor neuron disease and the effects it has on people living with the disease. So things like, you know, no longer being able to enjoy the simple things like having a cup of tea. So this is where the idea for this comes from. So what you do is you host a tea morning or afternoon tea for your family, friends, workplace, maybe your club or your school as well. And you help raise vital funds to provide services and support to people in Ireland impacted by MND. So you can register. All the details are on imnda.ie, and then you can just search there, Drink Tea for MND. So they're giving us some inspiration. So as I said, you can host an afternoon tea with your friends. You could sell treats for a donation or ask guests to make a donation instead of bringing something. Also schools, you can do a casual dress day or dress up day in Mad Hatter's tea party style. Oh, now that's a good idea. Yes. And collect donations from families and support people with MND. Or you can keep it really, really simple and do all of your fundraising online and make a donation there on imnda.ie. So the services then, all the donations go towards that. So they have six dedicated MND nurses who visit families living with MND in their homes, and they provide expert care and advice. And if you can't organise a tea day, you can just donate €4, which will go a long way as well, by texting MND4 to the number 5300. So 5300. Okay, that's the details for that. And as I mentioned, there, imnda.ie for all of the information on that. Jerryfish, True Friends. Now, the Kiltale Hurling Club are holding a fundraiser. It's actually happening this Friday, the 29th of April. What they're doing is they're raising funds for their juvenile sector. So they are holding a 3x25s card game in the clubhouse on Good Friday night. So they're encouraging everybody to go along, and tickets are €20, and you can find more details about that on their Facebook page. Now, we are going to be talking about everything to do with parenting next on the show with our regular guest, play therapist from MySpace Therapy in Dalek, Melissa Moore. She's going to be with us next.
The 11 to 1 show.
Yes, we are answering your parenting queries. We are returning to our regular slot now with play therapist and parenting expert Melissa Moore. She's from MySpace Play Therapy in Dalek. And this month we have everything from moving to primary school and what to do when a child can't communicate when they are upset. Melissa, great to have you again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Shanae. Thanks for having me back.
Now, the first query we have is around going to big school, really, isn't it? And the parent says, my little girl is super worried about moving into primary school. Is there anything I can do to help her? And this is a big one, isn't it? This is a big deal, this one.
It is a big deal, and it's very normal, obviously, for 4 and 5 year olds to be worried about making that move. They've been in preschool probably for 2 years, same faces, same teachers, same routine. So there's a lot, but on the other side of that, there's a lot that parents can do, and there really is an awful lot that parents can do around this. And I find actually probably the worries are more with the parents themselves than with the little person.
Sure, I remember it myself with both of mine, and you sort of big it up more in your head and you're like, oh my God. And then what we do as well is we go, oh, you're going to big school. Are you excited about big school? Yeah. We make it a big deal from very early on, don't we?
And one of the key things is actually to remove that word big.
Okay.
Yeah. B because what it actually does is, and look, I've done it myself, so, you know, but the thing is that it actually kind of puts a bit of pressure on kids, because there's an expectation there from parents that they have to be big about it.
Yeah.
And they have to manage those feelings and be a big, brave girl or boy. So remove the word big. And just
see, grandparents, we're talking to you as well, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And relations generally, because we all do it, as you say. So if we remove the big word, okay.
Just remove it and replace it with primary school. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
So there's no kind of unknown around. And then the other thing is that a lot of the worries are about the unknown, the uncontrollable, yes. I suppose, at the moment. And a lot of those other things we can control. So looking at things like validating your child's feelings. So when they're getting worried or upset or they're asking you lots of questions about it, actually say to them, you know, I know you're a little bit worried about it. I was when I was your age too. And even related to a new job maybe that you started. Mm. You know, when I started that new job, I was really worried too. And I used to get butterflies in my tummy and I used to feel a little bit, you know, maybe sweaty or whatever it is. So just putting the labels on it for the child and just saying to them, I get it, I know, but what are you looking forward to?
Yeah.
And changing it quickly. So not focusing on that negative aspect of it. So what are you looking forward to? We're going to make lots of new friends. We're going to have a new teacher. We're going to start doing PE, you know, so whatever it is that the child is looking forward to, and bumping them up. And then in terms of the practicalities, so get them involved in picking the lunchbox.
Yeah.
You know, picking the school bag. And you can even start doing a few of those things now, do you know?
Yeah, because I think that's what happens, isn't it? We keep it all to, say, August, and then it's this whole big thing.
Yeah.
So it's actually, because I'd say in the preschools, they probably are talking about it now, and they're sort of getting them prepared for it, because it's only really a couple of months before, and we all feel it flying by. So that's a good point, actually.
It is, and what happens is we keep it all to the summer, and then we're in rush mode, you know, and our rush and our stress of getting organised is passed on to our kids. They absolutely do pick that up. So get them involved in those decisions, picking the uniform, you know, starting to practice getting them, putting their clothes on by themselves, getting the coat on by themselves. So all of that worry can be removed. So the more that you remove, obviously, the less stressful and smoother it's going to be, that transition. But also, you know, driving by the school, letting them see the school lots of times, walking, doing the walk, doing the cycle, whatever mode of transport you're going to be taking in September, do it. And don't just do it once, do it repeatedly. Go on to the school website, pick out the teacher that they're going to have, let them see the PE hall on it, you know, let them see all those bits and pieces. So as much of that stuff that you can show them, let them see it. Because all of that, all of those practical things are a big worry for them too.
Yeah.
So we're removing all of that. So, yeah, so just making sure that you're validating their feelings for them, you're normalising it, you're preparing them as much as you can. And then things like social stories. So two books that I use all of the time for children going to primary school. The first one is The Invisible String. And that's not necessarily focused on primary school. It's focusing on being away from somebody that you love.
Okay.
And managing that. And then the other one is The Kissing Hand, which is a lovely one as well. Last year, the libraries actually gave out bags of 3 and 4 little books in preparation for children.
Yeah.
It was the first year, and they were lovely books. So hopefully they'll do that again this year. I will also be actually going to run a webinar for parents.
Brilliant.
At some point, it probably will be in May.
So people should keep up to date with your social media. It says the best thing, Melissa. Yeah,
absolutely. It'll be posted on social. I've no date set for it yet, but it will be supporting parents and supporting their children making that move. So lots of that practical stuff will be in it. So it'll be a really good thing. And the other thing, I suppose, as well, is talking to your kids about what to expect in their day.
The day is going to go like.
So I'll drop you at school at 10 to 9. Then you'll go into your line and then you'll go into school. And at 11 o'clock, you'll have your little break and you'll have maybe a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
And then you'll do some lessons and you'll have your big break and what you'll have. And then mum will be at school get at 2 o'clock or 1:30 to pick you up.
Yeah.
And then we'll go home and we'll have fun in the afternoon. So letting them know what to expect. Because that, you know, and you know yourself, if you're going somewhere and you're worried about it, but if you know what's happening within that time frame, you can get your head around it a little bit more.
Schools are good as well. I remember with my little guy, like there was a couple of days or a week or something before, and actually with my daughter as well, she was able to go round the yard with the new teacher that she was going to have on her own, and we went into the school and there was all of that, and the same with himself as well. So, you know, just keep up to date with the school that you're going to, because they could do something like that a week or so before.
Most of them do, Sinead.
Yeah.
And actually a lot of the preschools now do a trip with the little ones, especially if it's a local school. A lot of them do the trip with the local school and arrange that as well. So there's lots of things, and the schools and the preschools are fantastic, like in terms of liaising with each other and passing information on. So if you've got a little one that you know is anxious, or you know that finds transitions difficult, the creche would probably, or the preschool would probably, have passed that information over. But just make sure that you do as well.
Exactly. So all of those things, as you say, start them now. The coat one was a big one. My son still struggles sometimes with zips and different things like that now. So yeah, the coat one is a good one, and the opening and closing of the lunchbox, this sort of stuff. The earlier actually you decide that stuff, the better. Because the teacher can't be going around helping every child.
No, they can't be, and it's stressful for your child. And if you have a quiet one or an anxious one, they don't want to be asking teacher even. So you don't want them coming home with a full lunchbox either, do you know?
Another thing that will add to our stress as well. Now, another one, okay, this is a tricky one for our next query. So this is about a 5-year-old boy, and this parent says he gets so incredibly upset at times. A lot of the time, he can't tell me why he is so upset or what has happened. I'm at a loss of how to help him. What can I do? This is a tricky one, but no doubt you've seen this before, Melissa.
Yeah, it would be a regular one that I would see, but it is a really tricky one for parents. And look, I'm a mother as well as you are, Sinead, and all we want to do is help our kids when they're upset, and we want to problem solve and we want to figure it out for them. And when you're not getting that back, you're pulling your hair out. Mm. What am I going to do here? So I get where that mom is coming from. What I would say is actually this is really normal for a 5-year-old developmentally. They don't have the language ability to come to you and say, stop, mom, I'm upset because someone said something to me today.
Yeah.
It comes out in their behaviours, and the behaviour is the communication. They are the words, really, and it's up to us to try and understand that firstly, and then if we can understand where they're coming from, we might be able to figure out what's going on. And look, if we can't figure out what's going on, that's okay. Don't worry about it. What is important is that you're there for your child. You're consoling them, you're co-regulating with them, and you're giving them skills when these things happen again. So it's not all about what has happened. In my experience, if there's something significant that has happened, then your child will be able to come to you.
Yeah, and say what it is.
Probably when they've calmed. When they're in those big feelings, actually physically in the brain, the logical thinking part of the brain has actually shut off.
Right.
So they're living in the fight, flight or freeze part of the brain. So while our gut thing to do, our reaction to do, is start talking to them when they're having the big tears, or even, you know, if it's the other end, if they're having shouting or whatever. But your point, you may as well be banging your head off the wall, because they actually can't understand, they can't hear it. So the best thing for you to do is validating the feelings. I can see you're really upset about something. It must be really confusing that you don't know, you can't tell me what it is. That's okay. Pull them into you, give them a little cuddle, put them up on the couch beside you, just sit with them. I'm going to sit with you now till you're feeling a little bit better. It's okay, you're safe. So all that, lots of reassurance, rather than going down the line of what's going on, come on, tell me. Yeah. When the tears have passed, might be the opportunity to do that later. But just reassuring your child in the moment. Yes, I can see you're really upset. Yes, it's okay to be really upset. I'm going to sit with you till this has passed. It's okay. And it will pass. You know, so lots and lots of reassurance with that child. And then, maybe a nice thing to do is actually afterwards, when they've calmed down, is get them to draw how he felt.
Oh, good idea, yeah.
You know, so he doesn't have the words probably to explain it, but children are so creative. Give them the markers or the crayons or whatever, and give them a page and say, okay, what did that look like? What were you worried about? What was so upsetting you? And just let them draw it out. What you're doing there is you're externalising it, so you're getting that big feeling and that big worry or instant out of their body and out of their brain onto paper. And then what you can do is, you know, there's lots of ways, creative ways you can do it. Like, he might want to rip it up or stomp on it or scrunch it up and throw it in the bin and get rid of it. So there's lots of ways around that you can do. But I think at that age, what I tell parents is actually one of the most beneficial things is to start increasing emotional awareness with your child. So what that looks like is making a narrative, so commenting on the feelings or the moods that you're seeing in your child, whether they're happy or angry or upset, saying to them, I can see you're really worried this morning, or I can see you're really grumpy this morning.
Yeah.
You know, but link it to the behaviour.
Yes.
So I can see that you're really grumpy because, you know, you're hanging your head down low, or because you snapped at me, or I can see you're really happy. Look at the big smile on your face tells me you're happy. So linking, always naming a behaviour with the feeling, and trying to do that throughout your day 5 or 6 times, as much as you can, balancing it out with the happy ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because by doing that, your child then becomes more aware of how they're feeling, the feeling that they have inside, and linking that to an emotion. That gives them control.
Yeah.
That removes some of that frustration, the confusion, the unknown, the uncontrollable for your child. And it's up to us as parents to do that. I wouldn't expect a 5 or 6 or 7 year old to be able to do that by themselves at all.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, you said up to 7. So would it be like in terms of an age bracket there, like where does that better communication come in? And is there a point where we should go, oh, I'm a bit concerned because this is still happening and there's no verbal kind of...
So children aren't born with the capacity to regulate themselves. They're also born with... We go to the negativity automatic.
Yeah.
So it's up to us as parents to show them how to regulate and how to co-regulate. And that's why it's so important that we sit with them through the big feeling. It's only around about the age of 7 or 8 where they start getting that for themselves.
Okay.
So they start being able to do that. So the more repetition we're doing prior to that and the more labelling of feelings and emotions and behaviours that we're doing, the more often we do that, the quicker our kids will get it and understand it. So only around about the 7 or 8. Even in my experience, even at that age, they're like maybe 6-year-olds can do this, maybe 8-year-olds can do it. It depends on the development of the child, but they might be able to learn to label the sad, the happy, the angry, the worried. But kind of beyond that, they find it hard. And it's only until much later in their development that they're able to do that. So yeah, they still, and they look, Sinead, there's still some 9, 10 year olds that will need us to do that. It just, really depends on the background, you know, the developments, the milestones, when they've hit them, if they've hit them, and their experiences, you know, their life experiences.
Okay, great, great advice around that one. And the other thing I was going to ask, now, there's another, another question here is, and I think actually a lot of parents will have an experience with this one. So this parent says, my daughter has started to complain about tummy aches, but I think it might be anxiety. She said a few times that she doesn't want to go to school. She's 7. Any advice? Yeah, the old tummy pain one is kind of a classic for a parent, isn't it?
It is a classic. I think most of us probably have experienced this at one time or other, whether it would be, you know, a tummy ache or a pain in the head or, you know. And I think that mum sounds quite clued in. She thinks it's anxiety. Mm. So I think the first thing to do is, if this is something that's recurring, get it checked by the GP firstly.
Yeah, rule out the physical, just in case. Yeah.
It'll give mum reassurance and it'll give the child reassurance as well. And then, if that's all been ruled out, then you're probably right. Very, very common, and very common around that age even. So the first thing to do then is obviously talk to the teacher and make sure nothing has happened in school. How are they in school? Does teacher notice any differences, any changes? Maybe looking at a diary for yourself, looking at, you know, is this every Monday morning?
Yeah.
Or is it particular days of the week? Is it particular times of those days? Is it on particular days where maybe, you know, somebody else collects them from school or they go to after schools? So trying to look at those triggers. And if you can get underneath them, then you might be able to actually problem solve that for yourself with the child. And I suppose that one of the other things, and I always talk about, and I've talked about already, is validating that feeling for the child.
Yeah.
Let them feel like they've been seen and they've been heard. A lot of children that come to me with anxiety, and I would say huge numbers, a huge part of my work is working with children with anxiety. A lot of those, the vast majority of those, will come with a lower self-esteem.
Right.
And it's all around, I can't manage with it, mommy. I can't do this with it, daddy. I don't know how to do this. I need somebody with me to show me. So by increasing your child's self-esteem, you're also increasing their ability to manage that anxiety piece. And the one thing that anxiety hates is brave.
Right.
I use that word all the time with the children I work with, brave. Anxiety hates brave.
Okay.
Absolutely hates brave. So if we're homing in on that braveness, and I know you can do this, and I know you can get that pint of milk for me while I wait at the shop door for me because you're brave, the more often our kids hear this, the more they believe it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But labelling that feeling for our child, I've got a tummy ache, mommy, my tummy feels sick. Okay, so we've been to the doctor. And so this is a conversation for mom in her own head. We've been to the doctor, so I know that it's not that. So let's actually say to the child, is this a sicky sick? So do you feel like you're going to puke? Or is it, do you think it might be a worry?
Yeah.
A worry belly. And the more often we do that, we're getting the child to think about that each time. The first few times, they probably won't be able to say, yeah, it's a worry because.
Yeah.
But the more often they do that, you're getting them to question, you're planting the seed, I suppose, for them.
Is this
to
a
wonder.
Physical? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can even say to them, because we've been to the doctor and the doctor said it's not a sicky sick feeling. And it's not a sicky pain. So you're not going to get sick.
Mm.
So saying that to them as well. The other thing as well is, I would wonder, is there a piece of separation anxiety here as more so than a generalised?
Which is something I would say a lot of kids that have gone through COVID probably experience.
Massive.
We underestimate the huge impact that the pandemic has had on our kids. We were actually having this conversation at home the other day. Like, when you look back and you go, God, we actually got through that. And then you look at my little guy who was in his creche and his Montessori at the time. That must have been huge. And then we expect them to sort of just get on with it and go back to normal. Even all these years later, we can't underestimate the impact that it's had, definitely.
No, we definitely can't. And even in adults, I mean, the number of adults presenting, you know, to psychiatry and counsellors is massive as well.
Mm.
It's had a massive impact. And we just assume that they're, you know, just get back up there and should just get on with it. But it's not like that for kids, because we have the ability to talk to our friends or talk to our family. They just don't have that capacity yet. You know, their communication is through their behaviours. And that's why we're having the tummy aches.
Yes.
But I wonder, is it more about the separation piece as opposed to actually something happening in school? And generally it is. So what can mam do? Those mornings must be really tough for mams and dads, you know, when they can't get them out the door. So it's validating the feeling, saying to them, I know you can do this. I know you're worried, but I know Miss O'Brien is going to take really good care of you, and I'm going to be standing at the gate at 2 o'clock. So letting them know what the day is going to be. So letting them know what's going to happen, that you are going to be there to pick them up. And when we go home, we're going to have a glass of milk and a bicky, or we're going to go to Nanny's or whatever it is. So letting them know that. But also giving them, so there's a couple of little things that you can do. Giving them something maybe belonging to you that they can bring to school. So something that they can, you know, can fit in their pocket.
Yeah.
And actually a really simple one can just be a squirt of your perfume on their jumper.
You know,
so when they're missing it, or, you know, they're feeling a little bit wobbly, they just smell it and they know that they're safe and they're, you know, that you're going to be there. Another one that a lot of people do is the little love heart on the wrist. Yeah. You know, that one where you draw a heart on your, in the inside of your wrist on the vein, and one on theirs. And you put it together and you charge it up full of love and full of hugs for the day. If they're not into that and that doesn't work, another little one that you can do is even just cutting a little love heart out and sticking it in their pocket.
That's what we used to do, all right. Particularly that transition back in after COVID.
And it's just a nice little reminder, or a little flat stone in their pocket where they can just rub, you know, if you need to fidget it.
Mm.
Where they can just rub it in their pocket and nobody's seen it. That's a really, really effective one. Because that's something physical that they can actually rub, as opposed to the little love heart on a piece of paper. They can't really rub that to the same effect. And again, you know, drawing it out, creating a worry time even at home for them. Mm. Do you know, if it's something that's cropping up all of the time, so you might say to them, so every evening after tea, after we have our lunch, or we have to have our dinner, or, you know, when you're back from football or whatever, we'll have 10 minutes. So it's 10 minutes of connection time.
Mm.
So it can be about that can be about the time where they talk to you about whatever their day has been like, and while you're having a little play with them either.
Yeah.
It's creating the opportunity that they know, no matter what has happened in their day, that after we've dinner, I'm sitting down with mom or I'm sitting down with dad for 10 minutes, and it is 10 minutes, and you do boundary it and you do put a timer on it.
Yes, because otherwise you don't want to be,
Well, you're not going to be present because you're thinking, oh God, I have to go and do, I have to prep the lunches or whatever I have to do. So 10 minutes on a timer that they know after that. So that's the opportunity where you're, you know, they can bring up whatever. And it's not that you're going to be sitting quizzing them about school, because that's actually just putting more pressure on them. But it's a time for you to tell me whatever you want to tell me about your day. The reason we're not doing that at bedtime, which is where a lot of these worry conversations happen.
Mm, building it up even more before bed. Yeah.
Building it up even more. This is the opportunity. And certainly for me, I know bed is the time where I've got quiet.
Yeah.
My head is where it runs at bedtime. It's the only opportunity probably in the day where I don't have somebody else in my ear telling me or ask me to do something. So that's the time that naturally it will come up. But actually, if we continue to have it at bedtime, what we're doing is we're igniting the brain rather than relaxing the brain. So we're nearly creating that fear or the anxiety in them before they go to sleep. And it's the part of the day, if it is separation anxiety, it's the part of the day where they are leaving you again. Mm. So you don't want that worry to be in. You want bed to be nice, relaxing, even playful time where you're, you know, connecting with your child and you're tickling them, or you might be giving them a hand massage or rubbing their hair for them or reading the story, whatever it is. You want it to be that nice wind down time. So removing the worry time to that 10 minutes.
Great advice, Melissa. Mm-hmm. MySpacePlaytherapy.com is where you're going to find the details. She's also on social media as well. Melissa, thank you so much for being an excellent contributor to 11 to 1. This is our last session, but hopefully you will be back on the show or on LMFM in future. But thank you so much for all of your work and contribution.
You're
to the
very
program.
Welcome. Thank Wishing you all the best.
Thank
Sinead.
You so much. Thanks a million.
The 11 to 1 show.
LMFM Northeast Update with Senator Windows. Senator Windows products will help you create a secure, comfortable, energy efficient home you're proud of. Call 0818 77 4455.
On this day in 2005, actress Jennifer Aniston filed for divorce from actor and film producer Brad Pitt. Also, Kelly Clarkson's Since You've Been Gone was on the radio, very appropriate. And today is Holi. It's the Hindu festival of colours where people playfully smear each other with a fine powder, and in a modern twist, many arrive for the celebration with water guns and balloons full of coloured water.
LMFM Northeast Update with Senator Windows. Creating the perfect home is a journey. Let us guide you. Visit our Drogheda, Dundalk and new Navan showrooms. Discover more at senatorwindows.ie.
Still to come, we're talking to actor Dan Butler.
The 11 to 1 show.
Home. Ed Sheeran and LMFM's 11 to 1 with Photograph. Sinead Brazel here with you. And it's time now for celebrity news.
The Buzz on LMFM. Keep up to date with all the latest news and gossip on the LMFM app.
Hi, I'm Max. Irish Wish stars Ayesha Curry and Lindsay Lohan sat down to reveal what they've manifested or wished for in their lives. Here's what they said.
I feel like I'm not a wisher, I'm like a manifester.
Yeah, same.
So, like, I like to put things out into the air, see what comes back, but I never harp too hard on anything.
Is there anything that you guys manifested recently that came to life?
Yes, I was manifesting that I wanted to have a baby. When we were filming this.
Yes.
Wes Ball says he wants his live-action Legend of Zelda movie to fulfill people's greatest desires. He says it's got to feel like something real, something serious and cool, but fun and whimsical. Paul Rudd geeked out over getting the chance to drive the original Ecto-1 car from the first Ghostbusters movie for the sequel Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Here's what he said.
I think, yeah, this was one of the originals. There's a few of them, but they're not easy to make. And so they keep them, and I think I'd heard that this might have been one from the first one that I got to drive. It was unreal. To be able to drive that thing was unbelievable. I admit, I know that I'm in a small group of people that can claim that. What an honor.
That's The Buzz. I'm Max.
The Buzz on LMFM. Keep up to date with all the latest news and gossip on the LMFM.
That is pretty cool to be involved in that. All right, absolutely. I have to see it yet, but I will get to it over the Easter holidays. That's the plan. Now back to the music. Here's Five. Keep on moving. It's a great song. Five, Keep on Moving. Now, he's perhaps best known for playing the iconic character of Bulldog in the smash hit TV series Frasier. Now, actor Dan Butler is treading the boards in Dundalk, no less. We're going to have a chat with him next.
The 11 to 1 show.
He's perhaps best known for playing the iconic character Bulldog in the smash hit TV series Frasier. Now, actor Dan Butler is back treading the boards in Tuesdays with Maury, adapted from the phenomenally popular Mitch album Novel, and audiences in Dundalk are in for a treat as the show is being performed in Antoine Arts Centre next month. Now, not only has this man got a list of Broadway credits a mile long, I'd also be here all day listing his film and TV credits, but he's been in everything from Silence of the Lambs to Crazy Stupid Love. I'm delighted to have actor Dan Butler on the line. You're very welcome, Dan. How are you?
Thanks, Sinead. I'm very good. Just a quick break from rehearsals.
Yes, thank you so much for taking time out, and it's wonderful to have you on the show. Now, many people will know you from your film and TV work, but you've been treading the boards for years as well. Did you start out your acting career on stage, Dan?
Yes. Well, I think I started acting the moment I came out of the womb. But, you know, so I was doing backyard productions and, yeah, the life of an actor, and finally focused on that completely when I was in my early 20s.
Okay, so you were really, like, even as a kid, performing for the parents, you know, getting them all ready, sitting down to perform a show, as you say, in the back garden.
Completely shocking them, you know. It was good to get a laugh, but usually pushing the boundaries of what was acceptable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, Tuesdays with Maury, I mean, such an iconic book and film, of course. Now, stage show, I can see the appeal in wanting to perform this, but how did the role come your way?
It, you know, as often it has happened in my career, it came a bit out of nowhere, so I can only see it as a gift. And I had never read the book. So to be totally immersed in it and being made aware of it, you know, you always, when a role or a project comes into your life, it's like, oh, this is here for a reason. And you ask yourself questions of how can I best bring this to life and what is it teaching me? What can I learn? So I love being completely immersed in the message of the book and of Maury Schwartz.
Yeah, because he is such an emotionally complex character. Like, was that a challenge? Was there a lot of preparation around that?
Well, you know, it's I'm still in the process of learning what he has to say to me and how I can honor him and his memory. And also, you know, I've had some dear friends who have passed with Lou Gehrig's disease, so they are on my minds too. But you know, it's a very funny show as well, and it's life-affirming.
Yeah.
I think it's just getting back to what we lose sight of because we're surrounded by such chaos and loud polarization everywhere. It's good to just get back to be kind and love one another and find your own way, because the culture isn't going to provide it. You got to find your own way.
Yeah, I think you're so right. I think we need reminding of those very values that you've just discussed there, and what a great way to do it through the arts. I mean, for people who haven't seen this or read the book, give us a brief outline of the plot, because I think this show stays more or less fairly, it stays to the original story, yeah?
Yes, it's different than the book. It's very, very unique, but it's the basic terrain where a Mitchell Albom, who was a sports announcer, columnist, celebrity, his favorite professor in college, sociology professor, he saw on Nightline, which was a news program in the United States, and he had just contracted ALS. And he had promised at one point to stay in touch with him, but he hadn't for 16 years. And it was a combination of, you know, the chance encounter of seeing this on television and saying, okay, I'll do a good deed, I'll show up. And then he was so successful with his life at that time, but he was miserable. And here was this person racked with a death sentence and was so full of life. He just couldn't say no to coming back every Tuesday and having really what was his final class with this professor on a whole range of topics.
Yeah.
But really, it came down to love and, well, family. Yeah, love. It does come back to love.
Yeah, and human connection, absolutely. And, you know, it's like you say, I mean, I think we've all been in this scenario as the journalist is in this, you know, where we go, oh, okay, you know, it's an obligation, I'll go, I'll do this. You kind of have this guilt. And then there's so many moments peppered throughout this whole show and story where, you know, it just, you know, he's having so many epiphanies, isn't he, about life and about kind of, you know, what he's lost sight of and what he places value on. It really, it's such a profound piece, and I think it's really important that we just go back to this stuff about the simple stuff, because the amount of people that you know will say, you know, there's so many much research into this about nurses and doctors being with people who are at their end of life, and it's never about work. It's never about, you know, awards maybe you've won or something like that. It's always down to the human connection and the people you've met. That's kind of what it boils down to in the final moments, I suppose.
Yes, and that death is a part of life, and to not make anything forbidden to talk about. And yes, to just keep opening ourselves to the simple message. I mean, that's it. You know, the world is so loud right now. I think that's what drew me to it. Of course, there's the basic message of the play that you were talking about, but just how to get along with people, how to respect other people, how to hear this and, you know, say, oh, gosh, it's so easy to get brainwashed or so easy to get on one track and lose sight of who we really are.
It really, really is. And I mean, in terms of the relationship then, you know, because Mitch and Mari, their connection and their chemistry is so, so central. Tell us about building the chemistry then with yourself and Stephen Jones.
Well, it's wonderful. It's like any journey with any play. You get to meet these people who very often become like family down the road. I mean, and that's what's wonderful about the mystery of who you will meet and the collaborations you form and how you're both trying to find the best way to tell this story and to make it as personal as possible. So it's a joy.
And I have to ask you as well, is it nice being back on stage? Because there's, you know, there's a certain freedom, isn't it, more so on stage? You know, you've got that sort of live nature of it all. It's very different to sort of being on TV or on a film set.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Frasier, we had the best of both worlds because it felt like you were in front of a live audience. So
yeah,
it was like doing instant theater. But I love the stamina you need to have, because really the storytelling is completely on your shoulders. You're not going to be able to stop and take another take or whatever. So it's, to be there with the audience that is there that night, because they're the other character.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little bit different depending on how they react to it. And so it's almost like a different class every night.
Yeah, and it's every night, as you say, it's different. Now, you did bring up Frasier, I have to ask you, and it's been rebooted, and there's a season 2 on the way. Could Bulldog be making a comeback, Dan? I'm just throwing it out there. Is it something that you're open to? Is there any whisperings about this?
I have no idea. I mean, people have asked this question before, and I really didn't expect it, because, you know, it moved to a different location, and, you know, Kelsey was completely different coming from Cheers to Frasier one. So if it happens, that would be a blast, but I'm not intending or expecting it. It's like the wonderful madness of this career. You never know what's going to happen, and you just take it when it comes.
Absolutely. Now, because I'm an absolute film nerd, I have to ask you about Silence of the Lambs, one of my all-time favourites, and you play Roden. So he's one of the guys, basically, who tells Agent Starling about the death moth, which is just fantastic. Did you know, filming this, though, that the movie was going to be this absolutely, like, huge thing?
No. I mean, it was mostly what it was probably the biggest movie I had been part of at that point. Mm. And Jonathan Demme, the director, just treated everyone the same. And everyone was so jazzed about being a part of it. I remember coming to set the first day, and the lowliest person helping to park cars was so excited about being able to say, I am a part of this production.
Brilliant.
And I just think that it trickles down in a good way. I don't like trickle down economics, but in this way, you know, the trickle down of just again, kindness and love of what we're doing. And he was a wonderful creator, and Yeah, it was wonderful to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and refreshing to see that, as you say, such a big director making every single person on set feel valued in that way. So, so important. Now, you're super busy with rehearsals, so we're not going to keep you much longer, but you will be touring Ireland with the show. And you're coming to the smallest county of Ireland and to the town of Dundalk. is this going to be your first time in Dundalk, or have you been around that neck of the woods before?
No, I've never been to Ireland, so
wow.
The whole thing is an adventure.
Okay.
I'm just sponging everything up and absorbing it and very grateful for all of it.
Oh, well, listen, hopefully the rain stays away, although, you know, a little smattering of rain is good, you know, because that's Ireland really and its authenticity. But enjoy the tour, and thank you so much for taking time out to have a chat with us.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, Sinead.
You too, Dan. Thank you so much. Dan Butler there. He's coming to Unthawn Arts Centre, 10th, 11th of April, performing in Tuesdays with Maury. You can find all the details on thawn.ie.
The 11 to 1 show.
Colin Farrell is set to reprise one of his iconic roles. More details on this after Toto. There's Toto with Africa on LMFM's 11 to 1. Now, this almost slipped under my radar. Almost. But you might recall Colin Farrell played the iconic role of the Penguin Oswald Cobblepot in The Batman, which was in 2022. Yeah, 2022. So now he is reprising the role as the Penguin again because it's getting its own spin-off series, which is very, very exciting. So it's a HBO Max limited series going to pick up the story where the Batman left off, and it's going to be premiering in autumn. So it's an 8-part series. And it is Colin Farrell, of course, is just delighted to transform once again and reprise this role. I mean, I remember when the images came out initially and we were going, Colin Farrell, he's in there underneath all of that prosthetic. He is in there underneath all that prosthetic. And he says he couldn't be more excited about continuing this exploration of Oz as he rises through the darkened ranks to become the Penguin. It's going to be good to get him back on the streets of Gotham for a little madness and mayhem. And the Batman writer-director says Colin pretty much, you know, exploded off the screen as Penguin in The Batman. So having the chance to thoroughly explore the inner life of that character is an absolute thrill. So he's on board with this as well. He's written and directed this. So a little teaser trailer has been released. I've come across it. Here it is. Here's Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
When I was a kid, there was a gangster. Real old school type. Rex Calabrese. He was a big deal. He helped people. You saw you on the street, he'd call out to you. When I'm 14 or something, he has a heart attack and dies. Still holding a cigar. In my neighborhood, they throw a parade in his honor. Freaking parade. I mean, it was a fancy, but it was a gesture. A show of love. What he meant. Can you imagine to be remembered like that?
Oh, why has that man not won an Oscar yet? Yeah, but we've got that to look forward to. It is coming to HBO Max in the autumn.
LMFM Job Search. Brought to you by Bristol Myers Squibb Ireland. Choose your own adventure and choose a career with Bristol Myers Squibb Ireland at careers.bms.com/IE.
Dooley's restaurant require a chef de partie to work in a busy, fast-paced kitchen and be a great team player. You can email your CV to accounts@dooleysrestaurant.ie. They are also looking for a senior bar person to work in a busy bar environment and carry out all food, beverage duties in a diligent manner. You can email your CV to accounts@dooleysrestaurant.ie. And Dooley's restaurant also require senior waiting staff to work in a busy restaurant with a minimum of 3 years experience in a restaurant environment. To apply, please email your CV to accounts@dooleysrestaurant.ie. EV Power Ireland require a qualified electrician based in the Meath area specialising in the installation of electric car chargers. To apply, please email your CV to info@evpowerireland.ie. Don't forget, all the details of those jobs can be found on our local job section on lmfm.ie.
LMFM Job Search.
Baby, blood has sugar, liquor only too.
Beyonce, Texas Hold'em, we are being teased no end by Cowboy Carter, as she's calling herself, and the album, which is going to be released on March 29th. There's tricklings of little things. She says, this ain't a country album. This is a Beyonce album. This is Act 2, and she's referring to the second act from Renaissance, which was released in 2022. But so far, 16 Carriages and that one, Texas Hold'em, that's all we sort of heard so far. We did have heard an awful lot of noise around the backlash from the album, particularly in the sort of country stations and that kind of thing. But yeah, the Cowboy Carter with collaborations as well. So there's some surprise collaborations that she's teased as well. She says she's collaborated with some brilliant artists who I deeply respect on the album. So it's going to be out on March 29th. Going to take a quick break and we're back with music from Brian Kennedy.
The 11 to 1 show.
With Gilmore.
Now, just a couple of announcements. Dalek Community First Responders Group, they are holding a table quiz. It is happening this Thursday in Carrinstown Lodge, Dalek, and their Easter raffle is going to be happening that night as well. Tickets are available from the First Responders and also Haven Pharmacy and Dalek Dry Cleaners, and that is all going to start at 9 p.m. in Carrinstown Lodge this Thursday. Now, another very special concert is coming to a town near you this April. It's a lovely evening of live music by Candlelight, and this one is going to appeal to Disney lovers because it's Disney Classics by Candlelight series. It kicked off their 10-day tour last week, and you can experience this magical evening under the glow of thousands of candles as you're transported on a magic carpet ride through a world of enchantment and nostalgia. And this is Frank McNamara, the piano man from The Late Late Show. He's bringing this concert series to the most beautiful church venues across the country. So he's going to be in Navan and Dundalk as part of this. And all of the details for Disney Classics by Candlelight, they are now available on Eventbrite. Or you can chance it rocking up to the door on the night, but he will be coming to Navan and Dundalk next month. There's Brian Kennedy, a better man, coming up on tomorrow's show. The search is on for the Louth Rose for 2024. I'm going to be chatting to Emma Barry all about her year in the Crown and what advice she will have for the next Louth Rose. We are also going to be checking in with the Drogheda Arts Festival, finding out what is in store for this year as well. That's all coming up tomorrow. That is my lot on the show for today. Thank you so much for your company. Enjoy the rest of your day and I'll chat to you tomorrow.
Listen back to the 11 to 1 show podcast on lmfm.ie or the LMFM app.
LMFM.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.